Well, thank the Lord tonight for the power that is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only power to save, but it's power to maintain us and keep us. And I thank God one day to carry us home to glory. If you would tonight, go back to Matthew chapter number 5. We were in Matthew 5 last week with one of the Beatitudes, one of the blesseds that are given to us in this chapter, the Sermon on the Mount that the Lord was, we noticed last week, he was not talking to the multitude of the unregenerate people. He was talking to his disciples, and he was teaching them and showing them some things in a personal walk with the Lord. And he uses the word blessed are, and he uses this 10 or 11 times in these 12 verses, 11 verses of Matthew chapter 5. Last week we did the one poor in spirit, and theirs would be the kingdom of heaven. Tonight I want to look at, we're not going in any particular order. Tonight we're going to go down to verse number 8. Verse number 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so we dealt with the poor, and now we're going to deal with the pure. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Man has a body, a soul, and a spirit. It's called a trichotomy, or we are a trinity. The Bible tells us that we're made in the image of God, and God, of course, gives us himself as a trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this particular beatitude talks about the heart. It talks about that part of man that the Scripture gives to us that really is that soul part of man that is looking forward to some spiritual things. And as man is a trichotomy, or is a trinity in himself, he has a body that is conscious of the world around us. Our flesh is world conscious. We live in this world, we live in this flesh, and we are concerned with what's taking place around us in this system of the world in which we live. He also has a soul, and that soul is self-conscious. Many times the Scripture uses the word heart, and it's interchangeable with the word soul. And then man has a spirit, and his spirit is God-conscious. We will one day have a new body. We will, when we get saved, we have a new spirit that moves in. We have the Holy Spirit that reigns in our life. And so the soul of man, as I said a moment ago, sometimes is interchangeable with that word heart. In the Scripture, when we talk about the heart of man, we're talking about the heart of God. We're not talking about the physical organ in our body that pumps the blood through our body. I hear on the television every once in a while there's a commercial that says a man's heart beats 100,000 times a week? Is that, I believe it's 100,000 times a week. Well, you hear figures like that, you begin to multiply, and boy, you multiply out a month, or you multiply out a year. This organ that God gives us is a very, very integral organ, and it continually pumps and works all the time to keep us alive and to keep the blood flowing through our body. But when the Bible talks about the heart, most of the time, it's dealing with that part of man that is very, very important, and it's that part of man that is conscious of himself, the heart of man. If we say the words, if I know my heart, then we're saying, if I know really what's inside of me, this is what I would do. And so the soul of man and the heart of man, as far as the Scripture is concerned, is important because it determines our relationship between us and the world and God. It's just a part that helps us to be interchangeable with the world and to have different ideas together and to think about things and just to comprehend, and that relationship that we have with God and also the world. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. And again, it's not talking about the organs, it's talking about the soul of man. Keep thy heart with all diligence, because it says, for out of it are the issues of life. And that's in the book of Proverbs. That's in the Old Testament. And the New Testament tells us that what's in a man's heart will come out his mouth. And so whatever we speak about, whatever we talk about, whatever we are concerned with, that's what's on the inside. And so we see that the heart of man is given to telling what they really think about. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And so he says here, as a man thinketh in his heart, on the inside of his life, as a man thinketh, that's really, really what he is. The Bible, Jesus said to the to those around him, it says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And so that's the heart of man. And the scripture says here, blessed are the pure in heart. It's important that we understand the emphasis that we, how important it is to walk with God, how important it is to walk before men and walk with God and show the purity that God gives us. The pure in heart, not just the soul of man, but the purity that God gives to us. There's an outward purity of a moral person. There's a lot of moral people in this world that show their morality by their actions, and the farther back we go in our time, we find that there are times in history that people are more moral at one time than they are another. We deal with immorality today. We deal with people that are immoral, have no morals, and they're living according to the flesh. And so that is the heart of a person that has no morality, and the lack of purity and the lack of understanding. In these last days, we find that things continually continue to get bad and worse than they were at one time. And what used to be in private now is very public, because the heart of the society has totally gone away from the Lord. So there's an outward purity of morality, or there's an outward impurity of immorality that is given upon man. But the Lord says, blessed are the pure in heart. And so that's the person that has a outward purity of a man that knows the Lord, a man that knows God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, in verse number 12, there's a generation that's pure in their own eyes. That's that moral generation that may be immoral, but they think they are very pure. And it says, pure in their own eyes, and yet are not washed from their filthiness. The Pharisees, Jesus said, the Pharisees made clean the outside of the cup, but on the inside was full of putrefying, terrible, terrible things. Religion does that to an individual. It may clean up on the outside, but it does not help anything on the inside. In Matthew chapter number 23, Jesus is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he gives them a scathing indictment against them, and he calls them hypocrites. They had the outward morality, they had the outward religion, but on the inside they did not have anything spiritual. He says in verse number 25 of Matthew 23, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So the Lord says, we clean up the outside and do nothing to the inside. He says what you need to do is clean up the inside, and that'll take care of the outside. And that's what salvation does for an individual. That's a person that's pure in heart. And he tells us in verse number 27 of that same chapter, says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones." Here the Lord gives them an illustration of what we would consider a cemetery. And everything looks beautiful on the cemetery, but really in reality it's not a beautiful place. And he says you have your sepulchres, or you have your burial places, and they're pure and they're white, they're clean, but on the inside does not change. It's still a place where dead men and dead people are laid. So woe unto you that are that way, full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Verse 28 says, "Even so also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." So the Lord is dealing there in Matthew 23. He's dealing with what's on the inside compared to what's on the outside. What's on the inside will work itself finally out to the outside. That's why when we say things, do things, sometimes our heart is away from the Lord, and we have that outward purity as far as people know, but inward we are far from the Lord. But he tells us here that we are blessed if we have a pure heart. We are blessed if we have that inward purity. Too many times we're more concerned with the outward look than we are the inward way of life. Too many times we're too concerned about what someone might think, and we might try to look better, be better, dress better, act better, when our heart is far from the Lord. But he tells us here in this one beatitude, verse 8, that we are blessed if we have a pure heart. And he tells us here, "For they shall see God." And we'll deal with that in just a moment. So this beatitude here tonight is much more than just an outward show. It's much more than what is affected by what's around us. Inward purity is the purity that God sees in us. It's a purity that can only be bestowed upon us by the grace of the Lord. It's a purity that is given to us. It's not something that we can take care of it ourselves. We are all sinners by nature, by choice, by practice, by desire. We are sinners. And we, inside the soul of man, is wicked. And the only way it can be made any different is that he have an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God, and that the Lord would save him. And so this inward purity and this pure heart tonight is that which is not outward but inward. It is what God sees in us, and the Bible says that God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So he knows our heart, he knows our thoughts, he even knows our intentions. He knows our intentions when we say something. He knows our intentions, what we want to have happen by our actions. And so God is a discerner because he knows our soul. He knows our heart. And blessed is that person that has a pure heart. In the Old Testament, there was a time that the Scripture tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him." That's when they was trying to find a king that would replace Saul. And all the boys of Jesse came by, and as Samuel looked at each one of them and examined each one of them, God said, "No, it's not him." And he said, "Don't look at the outward appearance. Don't look at his stature." I believe it's interesting that the Lord says that, because when Saul became king, the Bible tells us that Saul stood head and shoulders above everybody else. His stature was more than anybody else, but he was not the king that God had for Israel. And so he tells Samuel, said, "Don't be influenced by what you see. Don't be influenced by the stature. Don't be influenced by his countenance." He says, "I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart." So this heart we're dealing with is that soul that man has, a part of our our being, body, soul, and spirit, that God has given to us, and we can have in our natural state. We do not have a pure heart. In our natural state, we have a wicked heart. In our natural condition, we have nothing that can be tallied up that we have obtained certain righteousness. We don't have any good works that we can offer to the Lord, because all of our works are as filthy rags. And so the Lord looks on the inward part of man. The purity of God is inward purity. And that's why when something happens on the inside, something will happen on the outside. That's why when a person said, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't live any different than I used to live, then there's something wrong with their Christianity. Something wrong. Because when the Lord moves in our life, when the Holy Spirit moves in our body, He is the giver of a new heart and a new life. The Lord tells us in the Old Testament, says, my son, give me thine heart. He says, yourself. And the Lord's not in a patch-up business. Thank God He gives us a new heart. And He helps us with that. And so this purity tonight in verse number 8 comes from the Lord. It doesn't come by the natural birth. It comes by the new birth. It doesn't come about by the things we do. It comes about because of what Christ did and what God has given unto us through Him. This holy nature comes within us the moment we become a Christian. The moment we believe, we become a new creature in Christ. He tells us in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So that tells me that when the Lord comes in and saves me and saves an individual, then we are His workmanship, we're His masterpiece. And the Lord comes and we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not because of good works, but unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Something that has never changed. God, in His infinite mercy and love, has ordained that when a person gets saved, we're to walk in the work and the grace of God. We're to live in Him. He gives us a new holy nature. And that new holy nature must be nurtured. It must be taken care of. It must be given ability to grow. We call that progressive sanctification. There's a progression. Now, there's no such thing as progressive salvation. When you got saved, you got all there was to get. Salvation is a one-time incident, and you get all of the Holy Spirit. But there is a progressive sanctification. Sometimes people get scared to death of that word sanctification because so many people have used it wrong. To be sanctified does not mean that you're perfect. It does not mean that you're sinless. It just simply means you are saved. And we have been sanctified by the Spirit of God. And there is that moment of salvation that He sanctifies, changes our life, makes us a new creature in Christ, and then we begin the walk with the Lord. And that's called a progressive sanctification. We are sanctified, and we are being sanctified by our daily actions and daily walk with the Lord and Him teaching us and training us, and we're learning. It's a progression that takes place in our life. And then there's one day, thank God, that ultimate sanctification that we will be sinless. We will be perfect. We will be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so sanctification is not a bad word. It's a good word. If you're saved tonight, you have been sanctified. No doubts about it. If you are saved tonight, you are being sanctified. You are learning. You're growing. Who of us are not more equipped and able to do more in the Scripture than we were 10, 15, 20 years ago, or when we first got saved? That's that progression that takes place in our life. It's a teaching tool. It's a training for the child of God. And just as we are sanctified, just as we are being progressively sanctified, we're just as sure to one day be ultimately sanctified to be with the Lord and be just like Him. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's that soul. That's that heart. The inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. The inner man. Dwell in your hearts. That's the soul. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. So we are to be grounded. We're to be taking root in the good things of the Lord. And that Holy Spirit that has come, He comes to the inner man. And that makes the outer man a whole lot better. That makes the outward individual. That makes that that purity that the world sees that is Godward, that is because of the Lord. The product of a pure heart. What's the result of a pure heart? What makes a pure heart? I think you've got it now. Salvation makes a pure heart. But what's the product of that? Blessed are the pure in heart. What's the product? For they shall see God. We have the promise one day we shall see the Lord. Now, I know that is true. One day we shall see Him. We see Him now with the eye of faith. One day we will see Him in His flesh, our flesh. But this shall see God, I don't believe is necessarily that visual sight, but I believe it is that spiritual sight that God has. We shall see God in the actions of our lives. Most religious people have a different concept of God. They have an imagination and they use it and use a lot of things and they make it conformable to who they are and to their lifestyle. That's religion. And that's what's happening in our country these days in which we are living. America no longer sees God as He is. America has a God that is not the God of the Bible. Isn't it strange that you can hear the anti-God speeches by people that really do not believe in God, or they give lip service, but by their actions, they do not have the same concept of God that the Bible gives to us, but yet when they vote their abortions, when they have their deceptions and their lies, and then when they get through with their speech, they say, God bless you and God bless America. A different God. But I'm glad tonight we know the true God, and therefore we can one day see Him, but until then, I'm glad we are seeing Him now. God will not continue to bless a country that rejects Him. God cannot continue to be gracious to a country that and merciful that will continue to abuse the things of the Lord. And so the problem is that people no longer see the God of the Bible. People no longer have an understanding of what the Scripture really gives to us about God. I wrote, our nation no longer sees God as He is, but has created a God of love without holiness. Oh, I can live the way I want to live. God loves me. That's not the God of the Bible. We don't live the way we want to. We've been bought with a price if we're saved. If we're born again, we're not our own. We belong to Him. And so we find here that a person that has a pure heart, he's going to see God in our world. We live through the eyes that God has given us that's spiritual. The pure-hearted believer sees God as He is. He doesn't have to try to explain Him away. He doesn't change anything. He doesn't try to make God fit His little program or His little mold of who he thinks God is. He sees God as He is, a loving, a kind, a merciful, a compassionate God, but He's holy and He's just, and everything He does is pure and righteous. We see verse 8, for they shall see God. Now, none of us in here tonight have ever put our eyes upon God. But I can say probably every one of us in certain circumstances of our life, we have seen God. We've seen His actions. We've seen His His help. We've experienced what He has done for us. For they shall see God. But it takes a pure heart to do that. It takes a saved heart. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." There's that progression. "But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." There's that physical sight that one day we will see Him. I'm as sure as I know I'm standing here tonight behind this pulpit that one day I shall see God. One day my eyes will look upon Him. They'll be resurrected, pure, and our hearts will be right. And so John says, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." Not a one of us in here tonight can tell us what we're going to be like when we get to heaven. Brother Tom and I were talking the other day about heaven. He said, "The Bible really doesn't give us a whole lot of details about heaven." He said, "We don't know what it's all about." He said, "But what we do know, we know it's good. And what we don't know, we know it's probably better." And so we find that the pure in heart, the saved, Jesus is talking to His disciples. We remember last week, the Lord had pulled Himself away from the multitudes and the crowd and the press of the people, and His disciples come to Him, and they sat down with Him in verse number 1, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed." And so He begins these beatitudes, these blessings. And this one tonight in verse 8 is, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And He's talking to His disciples that are saved. And they literally were looking upon God. And He still tells them they shall, future tense, see God. And so tonight we know one day we'll see Him. We'll stand before Him. And we'll look upon Him with eyes. But the key is that He sees us. He knows us. The purer our hearts become, the more we are like Him. And the clearer He is to us before we see Him with our eyes. How do we get a pure heart? Been talking about the heart and purity and morals and immorality. How do we get a pure heart? Well, just a pure heart comes through obedience of God's Word. For in that Word it tells us, "Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance, drawing near unto the Lord." It says, "Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." How are we going to see God? Obedience to the Lord. Obedience. And the first command that we must obey is that you must be born again. And that brings about a pure heart. That verse I just read is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. "Let us draw near with a true heart." And then it says, "Having our hearts sprinkled." And so that soul of man, that inner man that we've been dealing with, we need to draw nigh to Him. And the closer we get to God, the more we'll see about God, the more we'll see of Him. A pure heart comes not only from obedience to the Word of God, but it's a pure heart comes through purity of thought, our thinking. I have a book. I haven't read it in a long time. Don't even know if I could go right to it or not. It's a book entitled "Battle for the Mind." It's an old book, probably 40 years old. I believe Tim LaHaye wrote it, I think. And it's just entitled "The Battle for the Mind." And buddy, there's a battle goes on every day of our lives for this up here. This brain, this mind that God has given to us. If the devil can win our mind, he's got our flesh. If he can win the battle over our mind, he's got the battle won over the spirit and the soul and everything else. And so there is that battle. And so purity in the heart comes from a thought process that's according to God's Word. It goes back to that word obedience. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart," I read that a while ago, "as he thinketh in his heart," his, the inner man, And it's all intertwined with who we really are. As we think, so we are. And so if the devil wins that battle, then we are going to do pretty much what the devil desires us to do in our personal life. Purity of heart comes from obedience. Purity of heart comes from a thought process according to the Word of God. Purity of heart comes from running away from ungodliness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a," there's this word, "pure heart." That's 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, to a young preacher. He says, flee youthful lust. Follow righteousness. Not only righteousness, but follow faith. Follow charity. Follow peace. And do all those things with them that call on the Lord. That means our associations need to be like we are. That means those that we run with, those that we deal with, those that we are have in our life ought to understand what it means to be a child of God. Flee those things with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It's simply Paul telling Timothy, stay with the saved. Run with the Christian. Have association with the child of God. Have association with the person, the individual, man or woman, whoever it might be, that is following after the Lord with a pure heart. And we've already established a pure heart is what? A saved heart. So it tells us, no wonder Paul says, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you as a child, as a son. And so he deals with this thing of what we call separation. People hate that word. But we ought to be a separated people. We ought to be different in the world. We ought to go different places in the world. We ought to act different. And we certainly ought to have different ideas. Our worldview certainly should be according to the Word of God. And this comes from running with the right crowd, doing the right thing, and following righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with the saved. Purity of heart comes, number four, through the Bible word is unfeigned love. The word unfeigned means perfect. It means the right kind. What the world tells us love is not the right kind. And so our heart comes through a love that is true, love that is right, concerning those of us that are called Christians. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or right love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a, here's the word again, pure heart. Blessed is that man that has a pure heart, that person that has a saved heart. And he tells us here that we have purified our souls. There's that word soul that's interchangeable so many times with heart, in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now, a person can tell me all they want to, the Holy Spirit led me to do this, and it's in opposition to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit had nothing to do with it. I don't care who it is, where they are, and where they go, what they say. When the Holy Spirit leads us, He's going to lead us in paths of what? Righteousness. Why? For His name's sake. And so the Holy Spirit gets blamed for a lot He has nothing to do with. And so He tells us here that we have our souls that have been purified. How does that take place? By obeying the truth. What's the truth? The Word of God. How do we do it? Through the Spirit. Every person that's ever been saved has been because of the nudging and the pull and the draw of the Holy Spirit of God. And that brings about a pure heart. And therefore it says we have an unfeigned love for the brethren, the child of God, the Christian. And then lastly, a pure heart comes through watching for the coming of our Lord. He is coming. We was talking out there before church, and somebody said, well, he's, He may come this year. He may come this night. He may come before we get out of this book. And so we have a pure heart actively to what people can see in us because we are looking for the Lord. 1 John 3 and verse 3. And every man, here's the verse, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. How do we purify ourselves? We have this hope. Jesus is coming. And if we really believe he's coming today, like we say we do, we might not have done everything today that we did. If we really believe he's coming tomorrow, we might have different plans for tomorrow. And so we need to be watching and looking and longing for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, it purifies our actions. It helps the outward work of an individual to be a servant of God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, blessed are you, you that are saved, because you're going to see God, not just with the eye, but you're going to see the work of God, you're going to see the activity of God, you're going to see the results of God, and then one day we shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. So Jesus gives these Beatitudes, and we may work on a few more of them. I don't know if we'll do all of them or not, but we'll look at some of them on these Wednesday nights that are following, and just consider what the Lord teaching his disciples. We are blessed. Tonight we are blessed. Let's stand together.